Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, Kevin, we've got a full slate of...
Not as full as last week. Last week was a full slate. In fact, we had so much in the full slate that I don't even think all our reviews got broadcast.
Right. What?
No, we didn't.
Oh, they were in the internet-only segment.
Yeah, we had to jump into the internet-only
segment. Which one did we talk about in the internet-only segment?
Probably Zombie Strippers.
Zombie Strippers.
Here's a funny story.
Okay.
On this, just because... We're going to do diversions from the beginning here. We're going to
might as well start with a diversion.
All the reviews are going in the...
You know, we should just start the show with, you know what? Let me tell you the story real quick.
Let me tell you the story. So I'm doing my... I do, you know, as you know, I do phone calls and review movies and stations
really
around the country because I'm awesome.
Uh-huh.
And I do one for KSL, which is in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And I sent them all my... Here's the movies I'm going to do and here's the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I get on the phone with the producer when they call me to do my recording. And they said, we're not allowed to talk about Zombie Strippers.
That's because it's Mormon country.
Because it's Salt Lake City. Yeah. But they love us in Salt Lake City. It's just,
who knows why?
That's probably why we're not quite... Fat Guys isn't on the air yet because we talk a little too much about Zombie Strippers. And right. I also want to give a big shout out right now. This is important.
I'm just shaking my head. Nobody else can see that. You could just continue. No one would know.
We gave a little shout out last week at the very end of the show to CD101 in Columbus, Ohio, who has... Yeah. Brought the Fat Guys at the movies onto their morning show.
Yeah, we hung out with Joe and Rachel. They're cool.
They are very cool.
We were on.
Yeah. And so we're going to be on
good.
Every morning or every Friday, 7:20 in Columbus, Ohio. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, turn on 101.1 FM.
You should be listening to that radio station anyways because it's the best radio station in town.
Even if you don't live in Columbus, you can go to cd101.com.
Yeah.
And listen to a stream. So listen to us 7
a.m.
every Friday.
Between 7 and 7:30 Eastern.
Eastern.
For all of our...
Every Friday we'll talk about movies.
That's for all of our listeners in Hawaii, just in case.
And we can talk about Zombie Strippers there. We did talk about Zombie Strippers.
They also said that I can say a word that I like to say, but I'm not going to say it right now. We'll save it to the internet-only segment.
Did they actually tell you that?
I'm not allowed to say it on Cheyenne's radio station.
When we first met one of the DJs in the morning, I said, can we say this word on your show? And she's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't put it to the test, though.
Yeah, we'll put it to the test this week.
We'll wait.
We've already burned a full 2 minutes of this segment.
Oh my gosh, why?
On Kevin's stupid stories. Well, CD101's not stupid, but the rest of it, totally waste of time. Here's how you can get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also hit us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies in the iTunes store, and we're right there for you. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735.
Have we gotten a voicemail lately?
No. I'm pretty sure that eventually I'm just going to shut that phone number off.
Did you
check
it today?
Yeah, I check it every day. When it automatically logs on when I start on my computer.
See, we actually offered to give away DVDs if people...
Did we?
Yeah, it was something I forgot.
I'm not giving away any of
I don't even
DVDs.
Remember what
I like my DVDs.
Well, no, I was just going to randomly pick something out of my collection, like The Simple Life Season 5.
Which you probably have like 8 copies of.
No, we sent those out to contest winners.
No, that's true.
Allegedly.
No, they're not here.
I'm looking around the magical studio in the sky for Phantom DVDs.
For contest swag that didn't get sent out?
Yes.
That's not how I roll.
Okay.
What are we talking about? Can we talk about a movie?
Let's talk about the biggest reject loser update. Since
I
know you tried to try to blast through this, but it's because you suck. As you know, we're doing the weight loss challenge, and the last couple weeks, Brian Gibson has been a monument to weight loss in the fact he's lost weight every week.
Yeah, right, man. At the sci-fi marathon, though, I had him eating like...
Yeah.
He downed like 4 or 5 large popcorns in 24 hours.
Well, it was so
That's
funny because...
like 4 pounds right there.
It was in the middle of one of the movies, and he's like keeps trying to push the popcorn onto us.
Right.
He's leaning over. He's like, hey...
And I'm like, no, I already had 6 slices of pizza since we got here.
And cheesecake. I made you eat cheesecake.
Oh, the cheesecake was so good, though.
You're such a chick. Anyways,
whatever.
I am down to, I believe it was 264 is what I'm at now, according to my latest weigh-in.
Yep.
I am on the road down the scale. Mm-hmm. The 250s are in sight. And I'm making progress this week. And I do not have a 24-hour movie marathon to go to, so...
Thank God we don't have... I really enjoyed that experience, but I really felt fat and gross afterwards.
Well, part of it's because people don't shower before they come.
That's true.
And so you feel...
And I ate way too much.
And you're gross.
And I'm gross. Yeah. As you can see from the magical studio in the sky, because it's trashed right now.
Speaking of gross, let's talk about our movies. The first one is Deception. Ewan McGregor stars as a nerdy accountant who is introduced to a world of sex clubs by the much cooler Hugh Jackman.
When you're on the list, the rules are simple. No rough stuff and no names.
Yeah.
Detective, you've got to find her.
A woman whose name you don't know.
All I know about her is her first name starts with an S. I'm trying to get a hold of Wyatt.
There is no one by this name working in this firm.
Is she a prostitute?
She's a friend.
A friend you met in a sex group.
Jonathan.
Everything you told me was a lie.
Not lies, Jonathan. That was foreplay.
There's a lot of friends I have who I don't know their first name, just the letter it starts with.
Right. Well, I'm in a lot of sex clubs, so... I guess it works out like that.
It's sort of like a Reese cup. You put the two together and you get something awesome. But what is not awesome...
this movie is not awesome. No.
Here's a note to Hollywood. When you're making a movie that's supposed to have all these twists and turns that you're not supposed to see coming, don't name your movie Deception.
Well, it was funny because my first comment after the film, after screening the film, was that I have been deceived. I thought this was going to be a good movie, and it deceived me.
Yeah, I don't know why you got deceived. It didn't look that good to begin with.
I was thrown for a loop.
But ultimately, this would be like naming Citizen Kane, It Is a Sled.
It is a sled. It's well, here's the problem that the movie really has, is that from the start, it is everything is so glaringly obvious about this film.
There especially are moments, if you watch the trailer.
Especially if you watch the trailer, and there are moments like... Hugh Jackman isn't the guy, isn't what he seems. And they walk into this building, and it's supposed to be Hugh Jackman's character's apartment building, and there's this other guy walking out, and he's like, oh yeah, I know him, he deals art. And you just see this old man just turn and like linger.
And look at him like, who are you?
Who is this guy? Look on his face, and you're like, wow, I'm willing to bet that that guy doesn't know him.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he didn't.
You would have made a lot of money.
It was, wow.
People took that bet.
It just blows my mind how painfully obvious and easily dismissible this film is.
Well,
it could have been so good, but not really.
Yeah, the other thing was that the first like 2/3 of it were like any sort of run of the mill half, you know, like thriller, you know, something that you'd see released in the spring that's not going to do real well. And then the last third of it just goes, I almost said the last act, but I find that pretentious. I don't want to sound like
you don't want to sound like you know anything about film.
I want to
that's
sound
not
like
the goal
average
of the show. We're here to just say stuff.
No, I in the last third, I'm just like, things just went nuts, and you're like, this makes no sense. That was my William Shatner impression.
It doesn't
this
follow.
Makes no sense.
If this was really happening, it wouldn't follow logic, you know?
I mean, there's weird stuff, and I don't even want to go into it because I don't want to spoil things at the end.
For the four people that will probably
for the
be like,
who,
I'm going to go see it because Kevin Carr didn't like it.
Yeah, it just... There was some nudity in it. Some great nudity
there
with
was
Natasha Henstridge, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But
unfortunately,
it
couldn't save this movie.
But the other thing with this, the stupidity of it is he goes into the sex club. I wish there were sex clubs where you could be like, I'm just going to get a prepaid cell phone and get calls from ridiculously hot women who just want sex.
Right. Even the older women.
Yeah.
Were hot.
I mean, yeah, even the old woman, she wasn't bad looking. Yeah. Sort of like a Charlotte Rampling kind of thing.
Anyways, I'm going to say it totally sucks.
I'm going to give it a sucked.
Because it sucks.
Yeah.
Cool. And when we come back, we've got a few more. We're going to talk about Baby Mama. We're also going to talk about Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Nice. So, Neil, before we get into Baby Mama and Harold and Kumar, I want to just give a little shout-out again to people in Columbus, Ohio.
Because that's where we are, and they let us see movies for free, so why not?
Why not? There's an independent theater there called Studio 35 that is showing a couple very independent, interesting movies. They're showing The Animation Show, which is a collection of animated shorts.
Obviously.
With Mike Judge and stuff like that. But they're also showing American Zombie, which is a mockumentary about how things would shake down if zombies really became citizens. And it starts out okay, it's interesting, but it really kind of gets weird. And where it gets weird, it gets kind of realistic. It turns into something that you don't think it is from the beginning. And I have to say, if you ever get a chance to see American Zombies, definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
Just a little. It's showing at Studio 35. Come to Columbus, Ohio. You can book tickets.
You should
tickets.
Just fly in for it.
Just don't get Skybus.
Don't get Skybus because they don't exist anymore.
Don't exist, even though there's still billboards around the city.
Well, you know, costs money to take those down. So
do you want to take us down the long road to Amy Poehler?
Yes, our next film that we're going to talk about is Baby Mama, in which Tina Fey plays a 37-year-old woman who is so desperate to become a mother that she hires white trash Amy Poehler to be her surrogate.
When I first thought about Angie carrying someone else's baby, I thought, my wife's got to have sex with someone else's husband to do this?
Out of
That's
going to
cost you extra. It's out of the question.
Kate, I want you to put your baby inside me. I want to put my baby inside you.
You got you a baby mama? I got two of them.
No, I'm paying her.
You pay the bills. She had a baby. That's called a baby mama.
Neil, I want you to put your baby inside
me. I am not touching you. But I will touch this movie all over. Because
that's disgusting. That's even more disgusting than what I just said to you.
Because it's hilarious. Here's what I thought going into this movie, and I think we share this sentiment. It looked like the Brother Solomon.
With chicks.
With chicks. Ladies.
Ironically, Will, what's his
Dex
name?
Dax Shepard?
No.
Will Forte.
Will Forte shows up in Baby Mama.
Right. But it ended up being more on the knocked up side of the spectrum as far as the humor. Not necessarily, it wasn't as raunchy. That's basically the way I try to describe it when I wrote my review is it's like Knocked Up, but it's a clean, like wholesome-ish type film.
PG-13.
Yeah, it's a
easily
PG-13
very
version.
PG-13.
Very funny, though. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey are just money.
I have to say, I've always loved Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I think they're totally hot, believe it or not. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there like Tina Fey, but I got a little bit of
she's a
love for
woman.
Amy Poehler. She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah, and they're both just very... Wait, you're talking about that they're hot. I'm talking about that they're funny.
Well, but they're both. They're both. They're hot and funny.
But I think the one thing that we were
like
talking
McDonald's
about,
Happy Meal.
Whatever. We were talking about this after the movie was that the timing is so good that they don't wait around. They don't linger on their jokes. It just they make the jokes and they just keep chugging along and the audience kind of has to keep up. And I think it's different than your average comedy that you'd see being released in the spring.
Well, especially nowadays when they're doing like movies like Epic Movie and Meet the Spartans, where they do a joke and then they're like, ta-da! And then they say it again and go, no, really, ta-da! And
right.
You're just like...
And they just beat it into the ground.
Yeah, you're like, it wasn't funny the first time and no one's laughing so we can hear the silence. No, Baby Mom is very funny. Tina Fey's funny. Amy Poehler funny. Everybody's in this movie is actually very funny, including... Dax Shepard, who's normally
idiot. Really annoying.
But Steve Martin does a great sort of like
Steve Martin
cameo-ish type.
He is worth mentioning because he totally steals the show. He plays the long-haired health food mogul boss of Tina Fey's character.
Yes.
And he is just a nut. Yeah. Like he, for example, he rewards her for doing a good job by allowing her 5 straight minutes of eye contact.
Yes.
And they sit there and stare at each other for 5 straight minutes. Not the whole.
They
don't
do
the
whole
5 minutes, but
that would
it's long enough for you to get the point. And it's one of those characters in a comedy that can easily be overused. And I think it shows some restraint by the writer director, who is the same person. It shows a little bit of restraint to not overuse that and to not, you know, go crazy with that zany third character. And I thought it worked out really well.
Yeah, and I was anticipating this movie to be awful.
Well, it could have went either way.
The trailers were eh, and I'm just like, it's a PG-13 trailer. So, I mean, I can give that for Knocked Up and Superbad had bad trailers, but that's because they couldn't put the good stuff in there.
Right.
And this one just didn't have a good trailer, but they kept going at it, and they just have these weird things that come out of nowhere that you don't expect.
It's just some
There's a great, it looked like an improv from Amy Poehler. And it's brilliant. I don't want to spoil anything. It's hard to talk about this movie without spoiling stuff because there's so many good lines and so much funny stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. It's the best
Easily
movie that's
the best
out there
movie
this weekend.
Of the week. Yeah. Speaking of other movies that are coming out this week.
Speaking of movies that also are coming out.
Are not the best, but also kind of funny. Harold and Kumar Escape Guantanamo Bay. Moving on from their White Castle days, stoner icons Harold and Kumar get caught up in a wash of political incorrectness, stereotypes, and terrorism.
In 8 hours, we're going to be in Amsterdam. This is amazing.
Terrorists! This is bigger than I thought. North Korea and Al-Qaeda working together.
We're Americans, man. We love Americans.
Hey, zip it, Hello Kitty.
Welcome to Guantanamo Bay. You boys like to spoon?
No.
Well, before we get, because I'm very interested to hear what you thought of this, because we didn't see it together. I saw it at South by Southwest, and you saw it this week. But before we get to that, I will say that in that trailer is like 60% of the good jokes in the movie, which is really unfortunate.
You're absolutely right. And I'll talk a little bit about, I'll talk a little bit about the audience on this. Okay. They actually, I don't think ever saw the trailer, because there are lines in there that are right out of the trailer that we just heard.
Right.
That they're like, oh yeah. And they're just like, you didn't see that coming. You know, if you've seen the trailer, you know, they smoke pot with George Bush. So when
which I thought was really bad of them to put that in the trailer, because it would have been so much funnier had I not known it was coming.
Yeah, and ultimately
it was like Will Ferrell showing up at the end of Old School.
Yeah,
or not Old.
Well, no, you're talking about Dodgeball. No, Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers.
He's in Old School the whole way.
Yes. Anyways, Wedding Crashers. This is going to sound really bad, and it's this is not the way it sounds. But I remember seeing the first Harold and Kumar. I remember that I saw it. I remember that I liked it. But I don't really remember a whole lot about it. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with me being stoned. That sounds like I was like...
you were stoned.
Yeah, it was if... But I really thought it was a clever, funny, quirky movie. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this one, it didn't live up to it. And it, to me, it was like a sine wave, you know, going up and down and up and down.
Right.
Sometimes they took it way too far. Sometimes they didn't take it far enough. And every now and then they cross that threshold in the middle where it was very funny. There are some very funny moments in it. There are moments that I laugh.
Most of them have to do with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is funny.
That guy is money.
There's some great stuff in there, but there's too much. Like, there's a whole side story with Kumar, which is played by Cal Penn.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Indian guy, just obviously, in case you didn't know. Kumar and his love interest, but it's sort of like forced in there, and it's almost like they were really honestly trying to tell a little bit of a tender story, and you're like, this has no place in there. And it's not like they just dropped it in. It becomes a big turning point at the end of the movie.
Well, yeah, and I think it's kind of the whole undertone of the film is that storyline.
Yeah, and but it's like they didn't take it far enough to make it a joke, but they didn't do a decent enough care to actually make it a decent storyline. It just was sort of like, it was sort of like they got wrapped up in their own spoof and didn't spoof it. Kind of like a spoof of like 80s romantic comedy.
I'm really confused.
Anyways. But the movie starts out with John Cho, who plays Harold, in the shower, fantasizing about his would-be girlfriend. And Kumar comes in and takes a big dump.
Which, I mean, that's your kind of humor.
But it's not done well. Bathroom humor has to be done well. And this was just a guy farting on a toilet. I'm sorry. That's really all it was. And it wasn't funny.
Thank you, Kevin, for clarifying.
I just letting you know. But they had too many of those things. And there's so much stuff that was from the trailer. A lot of the funny stuff were from the trailer, so it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And like Rod Cordray's character, who's funny, but he takes it so far ridiculous that you're just like, it doesn't even make sense within the show itself. So I just didn't find it all that funny.
I thought it was funny.
There was a lot of nudity.
I'm going to disagree with you on that part. I thought it was funny enough to satisfy its audience.
Because
most of the people that are really going to go see this are going to be stoned anyways. So they're not going to notice the big gaping plot holes or the over-exaggeration of certain characters. What I will agree, and I believe it was my friend Peter from Slash Film who said this when we saw it at South by Southwest, was that the only real problem with it, the only thing that held it back from capturing the same kind of magic of the first one, is that they really just use the same joke like 10 times over and over and over. Get to a situation looks like one thing, turns out to be something else, and that's, they just over and over and over and over again, it gets a little old. But I think ultimately it's funny enough, and I think what's strong about this film are the two lead guys, Cal Penn, John Cho.
I love John Cho. I think he's awesome.
They fit those roles so perfectly. So I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm hoping that we're gonna disagree on this. And I'm gonna say that this kind of rocks.
Wrong. I'm gonna say it kind of sucks. It has its moments.
Yes. No. I wanted to disagree.
Let's put it this way. I know somebody who did the Teen Wolf grading scale. It's either better or worse than Teen Wolf That's the average one. This is worse than Teen Wolf.
Whatever.
Kinda sucks.
We'll go to break. We'll be right back. Kevin, it's time, as we do every week, to talk about the box office.
Let me swerve into NPR for a second there. It's time to talk about the politics of the day.
I figured that would at least lead you into a tangent.
No tangent here.
Wow,
apparently,
man.
I don't want to talk about politics. You got mad at me last time. Vote Hillary.
Wow. Pennsylvania can suck my...
Whatever. Whoa. That's careful. Right. Careful.
I said it.
We love Pennsylvania.
I don't this week.
Whatever.
Anyways, moving on to the box office. Last week we had The Forbidden Kingdom, which...
Totally cleaned
we
up.
We both liked. Cleaned house. And Sarah Marshall came in close, number two. I don't think it was... you can't consider it a failure. Because it still made like $17 million.
It was soft. It was not...
Right. It wasn't...
Just like Jason Segel.
Wow. And then Prom Night sticking in there. 88 minutes, despite being the worst reviewed movie of all time.
Is it the worst of all time? Worse than like X versus Saber?
It was bad. And despite that, it still made $7 million. Finished number four. Number five, Nim's Island. We were actually just talking off the air about how Nim's Island seems to be holding on pretty strong.
Do you want to talk at all about Expelled? That it came to the top 10.
Yeah, it was only in 1,000 theaters, and it came in the top 10.
Did okay?
We have a review. There's a review being posted
this
weekend from Film School Rejects.
Who's reviewing it?
Matt Alexander just submitted one that I have to, post.
Change the opinion on?
Yes.
You'll be the intelligent design behind that.
I am total censorship when it comes to Film School Rejects. You have no idea.
I do. Anyway... No, yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's a very controversial movie, and it made...
Is it? I don't know anything.
Do you know
about
what it's about?
No.
It's about whether or not to teach intelligent design, which is basically creationism in schools. And it's sort of a resurfaced debate in the scientific community. And it's kind of like the conservative version of a Michael Moore movie.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't really... I haven't seen it, so I can't say either way.
I don't know. Well, I haven't read the review.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you haven't read the review, so you haven't been told what to think?
Exactly. that is why I have so many writers of Film School Rejects. I need people to tell me what to think.
That's right. But the thing is, this is the big difference, is where in the world has Osama bin Laden just tanked?
Well, they only opened it in like 20 theaters.
No, it was in 100 theaters.
100 theaters, come 100 on.
It made 1,500 per theater per weekend. It's pretty low. It's considered a really bad start.
Well, that's because it's the Weinstein Company, and they deserve it.
and what's funny is if you look at the list, I don't see zombie Juno strippers on there anywhere.
Hold on. Where in the world is Osama bin Laden was beaten by Juno?
In its first week of DVD release.
In its first week of DVD release.
So more people saw Juno at the dollar theaters
than
really saw Where in the World is Osama bin Laden at the first run.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, Stop Loss beat Osama bin Laden. Run, Fat Boy, Run. These movies that didn't do well.
The Spiderwick Chronicles, which came out in February.
The Bucket List,
which
has been around forever, has made twice as much, almost twice as much money. So, yeah, Morgan Spurlock did not win the lottery. Anywho, this coming weekend...
We have movies coming out.
The biggest release, of course, is Baby Mama. And then Deception, and then Baby Mama, and then Harold and Kumar. Those are pretty close to about the same number. And then Deception's a little bit less of a release, but they're all pretty solid.
Deception's going to tank. There's no way, man.
You know what? I think pretty clearly, I think we would agree, not to put words in your mouth, but you've put worse stuff in your mouth. Baby Mama, would you agree that's going to win the weekend?
No.
You don't think so?
I think Harold and Kumar is going to win the weekend.
You're just saying that to say that, right?
Nope. I honestly think that the stoner community has been waiting for this movie long enough, and I think the reviews so far have been positive enough. And I think Baby Mama, that trailer is absolutely terrible. The marketing for Baby Mama has been pretty bad.
But what's weird about Baby Mama? Anytime I've ever talked to somebody, and I'm not talking about like doing phone calls and radio calls, I'm talking about just average people. They're like, "Oh yeah, I can't see it because I love Tina Fey."
That's true. Tina Fey's got a good following. It's basically going to be Tina Fey crowd versus the Stoners this weekend. And I think the Stoners
Tina Fey's gonna win.
Have less to do.
Well, no, here's the other thing.
Therefore, they will be at the movies.
That you can't ignore. Unless there's going to be a huge sweeping release that everyone... Like in October, you can release Saw, and it's rated almost X, and you're still going to get a big crowd.
Right.
Baby Mom is PG-13. Harold and Kumar's R. It's a hard R. There's full frontal nudity of men and women. There's a lot of sex. There's a lot of raunch and everything.
Which would bring us out to the theater.
Well, to a degree. But I think last week improved by Forgetting Sarah Marshall that if you have sort of a field of similarly performing movies potential,
yeah,
that the one that's got a better PG-13 rating. Last couple weekends, PG-13 has crushed R.
I'm all right, fine, whatever. You can say
well,
what
you can,
want.
You can stick with your but ignorant, sticking, stupid view. But
what did I pick last week? Didn't I pick
We
Forbidden
both picked
Kingdom?
Forbidden Kingdom.
No,
I said it's going to be... You thought that Forgetting Sarah Marshall would...
Damn it.
We were both kind of on the fence on that because I was saying the R rating was going to hurt
it. This is
going to
be 2 weeks in a row I'm going to do this, or I'm going to pick the My Generation flick,
yes,
and you're going to win.
Well, no, I think Baby Mom is also a great date movie, not maybe the first date movie.
Right.
You got to know your girlfriend.
I mentioned that in my review. Just not a first date movie.
Because there's going to be a lot of uncomfortable moments.
Afterwards, you'll be like, when she's like, so what do you think about having babies?
Yes.
Or us having babies.
And when you right go, yeah, now. I'd knock up Amy Poehler.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But I think Forbidden Kingdom is going to do a deception. The sources I say it's going to be somewhere in the middle of the top 10. I think it's going to be lucky. My sources. BoxOfficeReport.com. But no, I think deception is...
This means you can't formulate your own opinion.
No, I'm just... I'm going against her opinion. I don't think it's going to be like fifth. I think it's going to barely make the top 10 because just deception... I don't know. I mean, I like 20th Century Fox as a studio in general, but wow.
I can't get by. That was bad.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Although Nim's Island, which is another one of theirs, I was mentioning this to you, that's actually trucking along.
We just talked about that.
Well, yeah, off air.
Nope.
Did we talk about it?
Just talked about it on the show.
No, we didn't.
You should probably stay with the conversation.
No. We
talked
about it off the air.
We just said a little while ago, we just talked about this off air, but Nim's Island seems to be trucking along quite nicely.
I don't think that's the case. It's okay. I think you've been spending too much time with your Harold and Kumar pals.
Fair enough. We'll just move on, and I'll be right.
We'll go back and listen to the tape.
Moving on, it is time to sound off. That's a weird one.
I make random noises.
All right, so we'll start with one that has been a very conflicting issue for me this week.
Are we talking Michael Bay?
Michael Bay.
Ah!
Michael Bay came out this week on his website and said to the fans...
This is what he said. He goes, blah, 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 because he can't talk English.
I don't think that's true. Michael Bay came out and said very publicly, everything you know about Transformers 2 so far is completely false, and I am doing that on purpose. And I wrote an article basically saying, shut up and make your movie.
You called him a D-bag.
In the title of the article, and it pained me so much... to write said article, but I'm annoyed.
Right said Fred.
I am seriously annoyed with Michael Bay coming out. It's one of two things could happen and I'd be fine. He could release false information all he wants. Just don't tell us about it. Like, just release your false information and then we'll all be surprised when the movie comes out. Or,
this isn't about fuzzy bunny rabbits. It's about robots blowing things up.
Or... do like Spielberg and Lucas try to do, which is just keep your mouth close and keep everything tight. Or J.J. Abrams made Cloverfield, and everybody was pretty much in the dark. Everybody knew about the movie, but everybody was in the dark. And that same studio, like, I don't understand.
Because he filmed
like,
it with one camera.
I don't understand how Paramount couldn't have, you know, can't help Michael Bay be secretive about his movie.
Because Michael Bay's an idiot.
Not true. So my problem is that you come out and say, we're going to release false information. Everything you know is false. So if you come out and say this movie's going to rock, we're going to be like, well...
is that false information?
Probably false information.
This is my take on it. Okay. And I don't know if you... I tried to say this to you the other night, but I put this on...
Every time you say Michael Bay, I just
tune me out. And you start listening to like Cyndi Lauper music
and
stuff like that. But I think the reality is the script... like Transformers 2 scripts, going to be kind of lame. If you just take it and you read it, you're going to say, this is really stupid.
Right.
You know, you say, this is terrible dialogue.
There's no way
dialogue.
This can work.
This is, makes no sense, and this is happening, and I'm totally confused. And like the first Transformers, once you get the giant computer-generated robots blowing things up, you forget about the crappy script. But the thing is, right now, all he's doing is filming explosions and the dialogue. So there's no cool robots to leak to the press. So everything that's going to leak is going to be crappy script points and dumb things.
And pictures of Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. And yeah, it's going to be pictures of Shia LaBeouf going, huh? And looking in the corner of the screen. And so and until he gets hot shots of like Megan Fox half naked, yeah, leaked to the press.
Which everyone, it hasn't even been confirmed whether or not she's going to be in the movie.
Yeah, so. I really don't think all the stuff, because I think he's afraid. And then I also think it's his ego getting in the way and being like, I'm going to be like Black Ops on these people. I'm going to be my own NSA on my Transformers movie. It'll be awesome.
Anyways. The movie's going to be awesome.
The movie, I'm not denying that. I think that once you get the wicked cool action, or as David Gordon Green said, whip ass action.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be like a really cool movie, but the story's going to stink.
I agree. What? The story stunk in the first one. They made it work. All right. Topic number two, the Justice League movie.
Number two is very appropriate for this movie.
Has been flushed.
Is this confirmed?
This came from Joel Silver.
Okay.
Who told one of the guys at Chud.com that it's pretty much on the table now. It's probably not going to ever happen. I mean, basically, in a long-winded industry speak, he said it's dead.
Well, yeah.
Thank God.
No, it'll come back. It's going to be like everything. It's every couple years it'll come back. Here's the thing that I think they should do. They should scrap the whole Justice League with Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, all the cool people. They should go back to when they like were in the 70s or 60s when it was in Detroit and it was run by Aquaman and all these secondary characters, because they didn't want to flood the and just have it be a comedy. And like you can
starring Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy can play Aquaman, and you can have like
Dane Beverly
Cook
Hills
and Pauly Shore and Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Back from
cool.
Beverly Hills Cop. They could call it Beverly Hills Justice League.
Beverly Hills Justice League.
Where the Justice League from Detroit goes to capture a murdered friend in Beverly Hills.
Nice.
And you can get Herbie Hancock to the music.
Nice. Another thing they mentioned is that Wonder Woman
is
going to be a movie. They're going to actually, they're working on the script. It's moving through the phases. It's almost like they said, well, Justice League isn't working, so let's just kind of put that out there. But this Wonder Woman thing, this could be a big deal. Let's make this thing happen.
Well, and the reality is because then you can get a director. And I think this is what's driving the death of the Justice League and the pushing of the single hero movies is you can get somebody behind it. You can get a big actor to play it because they're going to be in the spotlight the whole time.
Right.
And they can make it their own as opposed to trying to do an ensemble piece. But it's in the script stage. And if you liken it to the digestive system, it's somewhere around the esophagus. It's got a long way before they poop out a movie here.
With that, we have to go to a break. We will be right back.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin, we're totally into our internet only segment now.
Woohoo! You can say
douchebag
now.
Yeah, the word that I was mentioning earlier for those of you who have been listening the whole time was douchebag. They said I can say douchebag on the air on CD101, which
we haven't put that to the test yet.
We will.
We're walking.
This week's really not a douchebag week.
We need to wait till we've been on the air a couple weeks before.
Yeah.
When he's like, oh, Kevin Neal, how are you doing today? Douchebag.
Yeah. You know? Well, no, there's got to be somebody that I can call a douchebag.
There's a lot of people you can call a douchebag.
Yeah, but I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. But I'm excited about this segment because we've got not only do we have a top 10 list like we do pretty much every week.
We're bringing it back.
This is one of the more fun top 10 lists that,
we'll get
that
us
we've
in trouble.
Put together that will probably get us in trouble in the end. But it's usually when we're picking out our favorite women makes it interesting.
This has a funny story behind it too. About one of the entries on this list got replaced, and I have a funny story behind that.
Okay.
And it's in the number two slot of all things.
It's in the number two slot. It's in the number two slot. Made it all the way up there.
You don't even know the order. This is news to you.
I have no idea. I'm actually waiting to be surprised. That's probably why I'm excited.
I sent you the list, but I think you just glanced. I did, well, not this one. I sent you the unordered list.
Yeah,
with the one that got lost.
I only saw the one that I was like, we should take that off.
Yeah, we should take that off.
Funny story. Anyways, let's go. Let's do this.
They're old enough to breed.
Wow. Let's do this thing.
Okay.
Start us at number 10.
Well, this is in honor of, because we didn't tell what it is.
Oh.
In honor of Baby Mama. And while I like Tina Fey, I've always had the hots for Amy Poehler. Even in her crass, obnoxious humor,
right.
She's totally hot. I would totally, yep. I would do her.
Agreed.
So, in honor of this, it's going to be the 10 hottest baby mamas in movie history.
And this is?
Pregnant women.
Pregnant women out of wedlock.
Or in wedlock.
Really? No,
some of these aren't, there's one.
I thought that was the whole point of the list, was that they were supposed to be.
No, the whole point of the list was pregnant women. Hot pregnant women. Well, no.
Totally missed the whole point.
Seriously, there's at least three on this list. Four, technically.
That were pregnant in the movie.
Yeah, they all have to be pregnant.
That were married in the movie.
Yeah. Let's see. There's number 8 and number
Well, let's four, go through the list. And then
number
we'll,
3 then we'll and see. Sort of number 1.
Sort of number 1.
You saw the list before. You've seen it.
Yeah, but I could have sworn
Do you
that they
watch
were all,
movies?
All right, well, let's go through the list and I'll see if I can
Is this really a sticking
this.
Point? They have to be out of wedlock?
I think that's the whole point of them being a baby mama. Otherwise, they'd just be a pregnant woman. Baby mama is, as Romani Malco describes in the film, you pay the bills, she have the baby, you're not married.
Okay.
I don't know if he says you're not married.
He doesn't say you're not married. You pay the bill, she has a baby.
And I'll count it.
Do you watch movies?
I do.
When was the last movie you saw? Driving Miss Daisy?
Baby Mama.
Anywho. Number 10.
Okay.
Gina Davis in The Fly.
I've
even seen it because it's a horror movie. It came out in 1986.
Yeah, back then I didn't watch horror movies.
Back then you were
only
like four.
3 years old.
Yeah, that's right. You would have freaked out at this movie. The right. Fly with Jeff Goldblum. He, as a human fly hybrid, impregnates Gina Davis. And in one scene, they actually have her give an abortion to a maggot.
Okay.
But she actually gives birth to Eric Stoltz.
Even weirder.
Anyways, not a full grown. That would be disgusting. Number 9. This is a shout out for you.
Okay.
Carrie Russell in Waitress.
In Waitress. Oh, yeah. She was married.
She was married. There you go. That's 4.
Whatever.
Now I have somebody I can call a douchebag. But no, I wasn't a huge fan of Waitress. And it soured me even more when I saw August Rush.
Right.
With Carrie Russell. But I've always thought she's totally hot.
She is hot.
So. Number 8, another movie you probably never saw, Elizabeth McGovern in She's Having a Baby.
That's the one with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah,
totally.
I've seen that one a lot. I've always loved
that.
Elizabeth McGovern. She's even now she's like 50 or something. She's still pretty hot.
Okay.
She's on like CSI or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's one. Then number 7, Demi Moore in The Seventh Sign.
I did not see.
Decidedly not married because she gives birth to the Antichrist, I think.
Right. I was going to say, was Rosemary hot in Rosemary's Baby?
This is Mia Farrow. And I actually didn't put her on the list because Mia Farrow was very cute, but then she got her hair cut. And so like when she's like noticeably pregnant, she has that short, wacky hair.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no, but she's hot in the movie. I mean, Mia Farrow, when she was younger, she was quite a looker.
Okay.
But then she went and got sort of this Sinead O'Connor haircut.
Right. Okay.
Number 6. You may have to stick with me on this one. What's it that that Cole says you told
go
us this week?
And
go with me on this one.
Yeah.
John Hurt from Alien. Because he was definitely pregnant.
He's really hot in your mind.
The baby didn't come out quite the same as you would expect. It's a little more like Gina Davis in The Fly. But it's John Hurt. He is one sexy man.
Can we move on now?
Yes, we can move on. Number 5. These are the ones that I think you'll really appreciate. Catherine Heigl in Knocked Up.
Of course.
Hot.
Very hot.
Idiot, but hot. You know.
Whatever.
Yeah, she's a little on herself, stuck on herself. Just a tad. She needs to go back to a humbling experience following my father, the hero.
I disagree, and it wouldn't bother me.
Okay. So. There you go. Catherine Heigl with it. Okay, number 4, Kimberly Williams in Father of the Bride Part 2.
Yeah, she's cute.
She's from, if you don't know who she is, she's
the girl from Father and the Bride.
Well, she's also the sister on the one with Jim Belushi, that TV show.
According to Jim,
yeah. She's Courtney Thorne's sister.
I don't watch television.
Yeah, whatever. No, she's really hot. She's very, very cute.
I'm not disagreeing with any of these.
Number three.
For John Hurt.
Number three, Amy Adams in Junebug.
Totally.
And she was, I believe, married in this movie. And that's why you cannot take... Because Amy Adams...
So whatever. Loose definition of baby mom.
She was white trash. Does that help?
White trash.
Even she was... Although, you know what she was one of the hottest in? Was that scene in Talladega Nights in the restaurant when they almost had sex on the table? Which she had the glasses.
Yeah.
Totally hot. Sort of like that porn star.
Amy Adams
girl
is just plain hot.
I love Amy Adams. I actually want to protect her from you because I'd be afraid you'd lock her in the basement.
No. I'd be nice.
You'd take her out and play with her now and then.
I'm not weird.
Number two, this
you're
is the one that's going to get
you're
us
the
in...
one who put John Hurt on this list. Well, this one, I the weirdo?
This one is going to make people kind of more uncomfortable than John Hurt. And this is the one that got replaced. This is my way of you didn't like this one, so I replace it with something even worse.
Fair enough.
Ready?
Yeah.
Brace yourself. Hide the women and children.
I know which one it is. So.
Dominique Swain in Lolita.
That's going to make a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Well, see, this is the thing. And the funny thing is, who was originally on this list that you asked to take off?
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page from Juno, because you're like, oh, I don't know, it's a pregnant teenager. And I'm like, let's take a real teenager who has sex with Jeremy Irons and at the end of the movie is pregnant.
Yep.
And let's put her on the list. Because Dominique Swain was like 14 or 15 when she did Lolita. But the thing is, and this is why I think this is a little more justifiable, because she played the object of an old guy's affection. So the whole point of Lolita is...
It's creepy.
The trampy little girl who seduces the older man.
Right.
And... Then at the end, after they break up, she's pregnant later on in the movie. But it's like he goes and visits her, and he's like, oh, she's still swollen with child, but she was totally hot. And I wanted to drop trowel right there. He didn't say that. That I don't think was in the original book.
Definitely not.
Okay.
But yeah, we replaced Ellen Page, who
was... Who was 20 when she did Juno.
Looked like a 16-year-old.
They literally filmed... They started filming Juno like 3 days before her birthday when she turned 20.
Well, here's what I would say to that. I absolutely adore Ellen Page. I think she's awesome, but Dominique Swain is hotter.
Dominique Swain is very hot. Of course, she doesn't do anything now. I mean, I don't think I've seen her in anything in a while.
What was the one she did with Gerard Depardieu?
Huh? You're thinking of what? The My Father the Hero? That's
Katherine Heigl.
That's Katherine Heigl.
I always got them so confused when they were younger.
I saw an interview with her.
Katherine Heigl got hotter as she got older, though. Whereas Dominique Swain, I don't think is as hot now.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that was...
Because we haven't seen her since Lolita.
Well, she may have just burned out in terms of acting. She just didn't get a role.
Right.
But, I mean, part of her allure was she was young and hot.
Right.
But, Katherine, I heard... This is an interesting aside. I saw Katherine Heigl talking about her movies. And this is before she did Knocked Up and before she did Grey's Anatomy. So it was like... When she was still occasionally making a movie here and there. Like, I think she was in... Oh, God. What was that awful movie with Johnny Knoxville? All of them, right? But what was it? The Ringer? Or was that...
The Ringer was where he played the mentally ill...
No, he played the guy who tried to rig the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
But... She said that she would get fan mail for My Father the Hero all the time from old guys. Because there's a scene where she gets up and she's totally got a thong bathing suit on.
Yeah.
And she's like 14 or 15 in that movie.
Yeah.
And it even creeped her out. I'm like, hey, welcome to Hollywood. Number one.
Let's do the number one.
Number one, Salma Hayek in Fools Rush In.
Totally.
Because Salma Hayek is the hottest woman on the planet. And this was made 10, 15 years ago, when she was literally the hottest woman on the planet. Like one of her first big movies.
It was right after Desperado.
Yeah. And she was gorgeous. And I mean, she was, even now she's getting a little older and, naturally aging, still looks great. But back then she was just a total knockout.
Yeah. And it also gave hope to a lot of men because Matthew Perry, huge tool.
Yeah. if Matthew Perry could nail her.
Right.
Just at some drunken bar, which is part of the allure of Knocked Up, because you're like, Seth Rogen can get Katherine Heigl?
Right.
Throwing dice.
I think he's doing the dice too much.
Yes.
I really do.
Couple honorable mentions. We got to throw Amy Poehler and Tina Fey from Baby Mama, just because I like
both of them.
Both of them hot.
Yeah.
Although Tina Fey, it was weird. The costume design was really bizarre in this movie. Her skirts were the hem, the belt came up under her breast and they were mini skirts. So she looked like she had these abnormally long ostrich legs. And she's not. She's not that tall. It just looked weird.
I don't know.
I didn't focusing notice. On weird stuff.
Yep.
And then the other one is Jennifer Tilly in Seed of Chucky.
As the doll?
Well,
is the doll hotter than the actual Jennifer Tilly, though?
Well, didn't she get pregnant? I thought Jennifer Tilly, the actual, in fact, Jennifer Tilly playing Jennifer Tilly got pregnant, I thought.
No idea. It's a horror movie, as if I've seen it.
It had John Waters in it.
I've seen it.
Anyways, anyway. Let's move on. I got a couple stories. I just got to tell a couple stories here.
Okay.
Is this okay, Neil?
What? Oh, that you're telling stories? Yeah, sure, whatever. That's all you do anyways.
Yeah.
You just sit here and tell stories.
Do you want to do a sci-fi wrap-up, sci-fi marathon wrap-up, and talk about how we got yelled at? No, or in fact, decidedly not yelled at.
And how then, everybody complained about us snarking too much in the movies. I'm sorry.
There's a movie called The Journey to the Seventh Planet. For those of you out there who don't know their astronomy.
It's Uranus.
It's Uranus.
And the Uranus joke, you would think it would get old after like 20 minutes. It didn't.
It was
Everyone
constantly.
Was still laughing.
Yeah. And it was
a terrible movie.
And there were people who apparently got upset that we were snarking too much. And there was a guy who posted on the message board. He's like, I had to leave with my 14-year-old daughter because it was too lewd of comments during a movie called Lady Terminator,
yep,
about a naked anthropologist who was totally hot, who had a vagina snake take her over, and it would chew off guys' penises when she had
sex.
And
a vagina snake is exactly what you think. When, it would be.
Yeah, this is not a euphemism. It is a vagina snake.
It really does enter through the vagina.
Yeah.
And it lives there.
And this guy was like all upset. I'm like, you, and even somebody on the message board of the afterwards of the sci-fi marathon, they're like, you let your 14-year-old daughter watch Lady Terminator? He's like, well, we're very liberal on how we let our daughter watch stuff. Now, well, Cole had a great line. He was talking about the fact that he's like, oh, I saw this 11-year-old kid there. And like right before the last movie, and I kind of felt bad about some of the things we were saying, you know, kind of these lewd comments. Then I realized this kid's getting set to watch A Clockwork Orange.
The X-rated version.
He's like, I was pretty much okay with everything that I said.
I mean, and I don't think we were that bad. A lot of the snarking that happened was kind of within our row.
And it was
just the bursts focused of laughter.
It was focused on those two movies.
Right. And we shut up during 1984. We were all sleeping through A Clockwork Orange. But when the day the Earth stood still came on, we were absolutely good.
Except for the weird moments where Klaatu looked like he was molesting the young boy. There were a couple chuckles over that.
Had we been the only ones, I would have felt bad.
When Klaatu walks in the young boy's room and he says, "Someday I'm going to show you a train that doesn't run on tracks." We did have to laugh just a tad.
Right, but you're laughing. It's
You have to.
And like I said, had we been the only ones, but the whole audience was participating, and it was like this one guy who was just mad, and it's whatever, man.
But it was a fun experience, and we're going to be bringing snarking to a new level.
Yeah,
someday.
If you really want to see Lady Terminator, though, you can purchase it on DVD, which I did after the 24-hour sci-fi marathon. So if you really want to see it in all of its glory, you can buy it and watch it at home.
I would suggest you getting a bunch of your friends together and have copious amounts of alcohol to see this movie.
Because it's so worth it.
I have a great story to tell about Harold and Kumar.
Oh, no.
When I saw Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, okay.
I had another one that there's a group of people at the screenings that are, speaking of snarking at movies.
They're always there.
They're always at these movies, and they're always very loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be the first one to tell people to shut up in a first-run movie. Now, I'll snark like crazy at, you know, the Journey to the Seventh Planet, because that's what you're supposed to do in a marathon and sort of like a fun crowd. But, you know, regular movie, shut up during it. This group, very nice people, but kind of crazy and loud. And so I purposely sat on the other side of the group that we were with. And okay, I'm gonna probably get in a little trouble for this, but let's see. There's these two girls that come in, and I don't know how to kindly put it. They were both as big as a house, and I mean each individually.
Yeah,
they were huge. Now I'm a fat guy, but they were like twice the man of me. Each of them. I mean, this woman was enormous. She sits next to me and she's spilling over into the seat. So I'm there snuggled up against Kristen Dreyer Kramer's husband because he happened to be sitting on my other side. So he and I had to lean a little bit. And not only did the girl have restless leg syndrome, so she's bouncing her leg through the whole damn movie.
Right.
She was like doing this running commentary with her friend. And like every time something happened, that was like she goes, "I knew it." So like when something happened, she's like, I knew it. And then she's like, "Oh no, that's hilarious. That's not gonna happen." I wanted to punch her in the face. This wasn't as funny as well, it's because you're surfing the web.
What?
You're surfing the web. I'm not talking to just people. I'm talking to you.
Okay.
Neil cool. Miller.
I'm just checking
Do out. You have a story?
We get legal notices all the time on Film School Rejects.
What are we getting a legal notice for
I
now?
I don't know. Somebody's mad. People don't like us sometimes. But it's not our readers.
Just wait until we post the Dominic Swain.
Our readers, I think our readers like us. It's like studios that don't like us.
Studios like us.
We give our readers stuff that we're not supposed to have.
We're a necessary evil to the studios.
We are pretty evil.
As certain print critics have pointed out, we're just a marketing arm for them.
We are, totally. Yeah. I will market anything if they put my name on the DVD cover.
I might. I'm hoping that. Did the studio ask you for a quote from Zombie Strippers?
Yeah.
Did they? Like today?
No.
Oh, I got one today, so I'm thinking I gave him my quote because I think that'd be awesome to get on
the best zombie stripper movie ever.
No, the quote is, if you like zombies and you like strippers, you'll love Zombie Strippers.
Wow.
Which I contend that is true.
I'm sure it is.
Anywho, let's go to break.
All right, we're going to break. We'll be right back. Kevin, it's time to do a wrap-up.
Well, DVDs.
Yeah, well,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
No, dude. I mean, this is the whole, like, the wrap-up segment where we do the DVDs, and then we do the wrap-up.
It's a DVD roundup.
DVD roundup. Whatever.
Just like Wagon Train.
Wow. Anywho, we'll start with my pick of the week, which is Cloverfield, which was an awesome DVD release. I will say, I hadn't seen Cloverfield prior to watching it on DVD, which was sad because I think it would have been much better on the big screen. But I was very impressed with the special features on the regular DVD. Like, I got the one disc version of the DVD, and I thought it was pretty cool. And I know there's like 8 different like versions. Like, the Target has one that's specific to Target, and they all have different cool stuff.
The but one I want just is the one, base that, one that has a monster that comes out and bites and you and you blow up.
Nice.
That would be awesome.
That would be fun. So, but I really enjoyed the film, enjoyed the special features. It's definitely one of those like really good, solid DVD releases.
Yeah, the thing is with Cloverfield, I said to some people, I'm like, this is what you want to do if you didn't want to stomach it in theaters, and not just because it's a horror movie, and it is to a degree, but also because you don't want to have to deal with the handycam.
Yeah.
Because the movie's like 75 minutes long. It's like really short, and I could imagine it would be pretty tough to watch too many times. I've seen it in the theater.
Yeah.
And there are people who kind of had to look away. There was a guy eating a fish sandwich in front of us, too. I'm like, of all movies, why'd you bring a fish sandwich to Cloverfield?
Yeah.
And then I puked on him.
Right.
He deserved it.
You puked on him?
No, I didn't. I just quit surfing the web, dude.
I'm not.
You are?
All right, fine.
Anyways, my pick is Charlie Wilson's War. While I really haven't had a chance to go through the DVD, I think it's worth checking out as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How's that website looking? You are so distracted.
Charlie Wilson's War. You know what was disappointing about Charlie Wilson's War? I know it's your pick of the week.
Did you see it in the theater?
No, I saw it on DVD. I have the DVD, and it had like no special features.
Yeah, that you'll get
really,
that.
Really lame.
Yeah, you'll get that.
Come on.
And it always irritates me. I don't know if it had anything to do with. I'm gonna just get that off the website, please. You are so distracted. You're the one who wanted to keep going here, and you got so distracted.
I know. It's your fault.
You're a child.
I know.
You are a child.
It happens.
You are a child, and you're wetting your pants.
Just
right
move
now.
On. Okay. Let's go. We're running out of time.
Okay,
here.
Charlie Wilson's War. That's my other pick. It doesn't have a whole lot on the DVD, but it's a pretty good movie.
It was a good movie. Stinker of the week.
One missed call, which I actually
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, because it's there, and I got quoted like a whole bunch of places.
Yeah, for one missed call.
Yeah, but I didn't get quoted. Film School Rejects got quoted.
Well, that's because Film School Rejects is the
like,
shizzle.
They're like the rejects said. And I sort of likened it to, is that the one where I likened it to Vanilla Ice, just sort of sampling a whole bunch of J-horror movies?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Shaking them up and
exactly
crapping out this movie. Yeah. And it had Shannon Sossaman in it, who's a good-looking woman,
mm-hmm.
but the problem is she likes wearing frumpy old lady clothes through the whole movie.
Right.
So it's like, at the very least, put her in a miniskirt at some point. Have her get out of bed. You know, they always have the basic thing, the girl rolls out of bed and she's in panties.
Right.
You know, throw me a bone here. It's a horror movie in January. And it was like the only movie that opened that week.
Man.
I have some venom for this movie.
This is why I browse the internet.
And it had Edward Burns in it.
I like Edward Burns, though.
Why? He can't act.
No, he's good. Good enough.
No, he's not. Put him in a Michael Bay movie. It'll be like this. Man. It'll be like antimatter, because Michael Bay is nothing but action and things happening. And Ed Burns is all about just not acting and staring. And you could take them, and it would be like putting antimatter and matter together, and it would explode. Quit looking at the website.
I'm no longer interested in what you have to say.
Okay, well then move on.
So let's wrap up our reviews now. Deception.
There was no surprise in Deception.
Big suck.
Suck for that movie.
Baby Mama, I think we both liked. I said it rocks.
I rocked. It rocked for me.
You didn't rock. The movie rocked.
I rocked. I rocked because I saw Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, and I rocked on them.
Yes, and our contractual disagreement of the week is over Harold and Kumar. You said...
kind of sucks.
And I said kind of rocks. So there you have it. Next week, what are we doing next week?
We're going to be reviewing movies, possibly Red Belt, if I make my way to go see that movie for the screener. They sent me a little really cool book, so I might see it. It's David Mamet.
Yeah, we're going to see it.
Yeah, and then Maid of Honor with Patrick Dempsey.
Which you spelled wrong on the sheet. Oh, well, it's M-A-D-E.
That makes no sense. Will it make sense when I see the movie?
Nope.
Do not change that browser. Anyway, and then there's this little art house film called Iron Man that will come out. And I'm going to predict here that Neil will think it was awesome.
Yep. We're actually installing a new category for our reviews next week that is Above Rocks.
That's Above Rocks. That's like super duper
And
rocks.
We're just going to call it Iron Man Was Here. So there you have it.
I'm sure Iron Man is good.
We still have time. Oh,
yes,
no.
Yes. And yeah.
Let's talk about Iron Man for another...
How many posts on Film School Rejects are there of Iron Man?
Over 100.
It's a ridiculous amount.
We didn't even start covering it. We didn't know it existed until like right before Comic-Con last year as well. Yeah. So we've written a lot of stuff. And it's funny because I noticed I've never collected as many production stills as I have for Iron Man. I literally could probably piece together the entire movie, throw a soundtrack over it, and it would look like a silent film.
Honestly, I think that... you have more pictures of like no human beings at all than any human beings in the pictures. Because they're all about like Iron Man's suit and Iron Man's arms.
Yeah.
And here's a surprise. Iron Man's not real.
What?
And some of those pictures are computer generated.
Anyways, that's all we have to say about Iron Man this week. We're going to talk about him in depth next week. If you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and then, you can catch us at fatguysmovies.com. You can also email us fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We're also on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies. And I'm not going to mention the phone number because nobody calls us anyways. So there you go.
Bye. I just farted.
Yeah, that's cool.